Well, good evening. Just want to. It's been a privilege to, or it's been a blessing to be home, to be able to see you all, meet some new folks, see that, you know, that everything's going well here. That is a blessing. It's a huge blessing. Tonight, let's just go ahead and just get to preaching. I could sit here and say a whole bunch of stuff, but Luke chapter number 9. Luke 9. I'll say more when my nerves get calmed down a little bit, I guess. So, Luke 9. Luke 9, verse number 57. We'll read this to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. I thank you, Father, for your church, our church, Father. Thank you for the blessing of it. Thank you for what you've done in our lives through your body here. I pray that you please just be with us now. We need to focus on just this message and just be with us now and just bless this time. Bless your word. Please be with the words that I speak. Help them to be what you want, Father, please. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I know this is a famous part of Scripture, and sometimes we get reminded of things. You know, in... get my notes here. On June 10th, 2010, we arrived in Chile to take our survey trip. And I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter 10, because what are we supposed to do each day of the month? We're supposed to read the proverb that corresponds to that day. And I try to get our folks to do that, you know how, and I tell them, you know, you need to do this because the Lord will use those proverbs in your life during the day, and I tell them that you just never know what may come to pass during the day, and you need exactly what you read. But Proverbs 10, chapter 10, we arrived on the 10th day, we were there, and I was reading Proverbs 10, and in verse number 26, is the verse that the Lord spoke to my heart about, and it's a good one, brothers. It's as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And oh, glory, hallelujah! Right, you're all thinking, "Wow, it's an awesome verse." But as I was sitting there, I was reading that, you know, and our church, paid for us to go take our survey trip. Paid for us to be down there, and I thought to myself, I never want to be as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes for our church. I never want to be that. I never want to be a shame. I never want to be bothersome to our church, you know, and I never want to also, you know, and more so to our Lord, because he sent us, but through our church. That's the authority that God's put in our lives. And so, you know, that verse, I was just reminded of that today. It's been a long time ago. But I read that and I thought, I never want this to happen in my life to where you know, I'm as vinegar to the teeth or smoke to the eyes. Because that's just bothersome, you know, and we never want to be that. But here, and to them that sent him. And so, you know, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this message, and you all are I'm not preaching anything to you that I haven't already preached to our folks there in Chile. I preached it to them this morning. And I was a little bit long-winded this morning. That's why we were, you know, we weren't late for church, but we wasn't early this morning. So you'll just have to, we'll see if it goes any faster in English. We'll see if we can get a mix of the two. Now, Isaac asked me to preach just in Spanish so he could understand it. Nobody else could. So I better not do that. I don't want to be a smoke to the eyes. But here, you know, here we see something. I was thinking about these verses. I was thinking about, you know, what the Lord was teaching here. And sometimes I think that, you know, sometimes we're guilty. We all, every single one of us, are giving people a hard time. You know, these verses here, you know, what I was teaching those folks this morning, what I was showing them here, you know, we should never take a warning for a rebuke. We shouldn't do that. And if we have the attitude to where when someone warns us about something, hey, brother, I see this in your life, or hey, this could happen, and we take that as a rebuke and we get offended by that, we have spiritual problems. We do. You know, if we can't take advice, you know, if we can't take advice, then something might be wrong with us spiritually. But we see here, you know, many times, you know, if you read the commentaries, we have the procrastinating disciple. You have, you know, a bunch of words that I probably didn't really understand, you know, kind of disciple that didn't want to follow the Lord. But where in here does it say that they never followed the Lord? He warned them. In the first verse that we read here, you know, before this, you know, you have the famous, James and John were like, hey, there was one preaching, and we told him don't preach, and the Lord says, you know, hey, don't do that. You know, hey, you know, the Samaritan doesn't want to receive you. Should we call down fire from heaven? No, you shouldn't do that. That's not the kind of spirit that we are. And then we see as they go on, it came to pass that as they went, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, the big thing, the very first thing that pops out to my mind is this man called Jesus Christ Lord. Lord. You know, I think that's a big deal. Well, Brother Pittman, you know, Christ said in Matthew that not all that say Lord, Lord, you know, are gonna be my disciples are gonna be in heaven. But he didn't say Lord, Lord. So I'm gonna go off of that. He didn't say Lord, Lord, he said Lord one time. You know, you find that phrase, Lord, Lord, when the virgins and their lamps, when they didn't have the oil, they say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But here, he just says, Lord. I think he's saying this earnestly. And hey, could I also say here, he's saying something that many of us have never said to the Lord. I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, in Spanish, the follow is the seguir. And we know, we understand that that means to go after someone in time or in place or in velocity or in place. And so we understand he's saying, I will follow you. I will go after you. I will, and it goes into the deepest sense, I will become your disciple. I will be a disciple. And he says, I will go. I will go after you. You know, and he says here in verse number 57, he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, if you need me to explain that, because I know that's a big word, that means to whatever place. It's really simple, okay? It's donde quiera in Spanish. It means to wherever you go, whatever place you say, I will follow you. And that's what this man is saying to the Lord. He says, wherever you go, I will follow. Whithersoever thou goest, he's saying this of his own free will to the Lord. You know, I could say here, listen, brethren, you know, I think more of us need to say that exact same thing. And not only in physical places, in lugares físicos, not only in those places, but in the places that are in our heart. If he wants to enter some place in my heart that he's not entered in before, brethren, I think that we probably ought to let him do that. Wheresoever thou goest, He says this to the Lord. You know, and that means he's willing to change his location or change whatever he needs to about himself. That's what that means. And so the Lord here, you know, sometimes I think, you know, sometimes, you know, I've always, you know, I'll just admit it. You know, I've always taken this as the Lord saying, hey, you know, listen. But I think he's just warning him. You know, he's not like the rich young man where it says that he left sorrowful. Right. The Bible doesn't say that. You know, I encourage you to find a place where, you know, where you can show me that these men didn't follow the Lord. We don't know. But the thing is, they could have. Christ was warning them. You know, we heard a message about counting the cost the other day. We heard, you know, that, hey, we should count the cost. But, you know, I just want to encourage you this. That, you know, that part of Scripture is all about discipleship. And that part of Scripture also, you know, who counted the cost for me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? God did. And if he wants to start something in my life, guess who's going to finish it? He will finish it. I just need to be submitted unto him. I need to be subject unto him. And he said, the Lord says here, he says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, I was reading here and reading a little bit about this and everything. You know, that's pretty interesting that Jesus Christ, you know, the Son of God, left heaven where he had everything, all the riches of heaven, to come down here to where he didn't have a place to lay his head. He says even the foxes have holes. And the birds of the air have nests. He's warning this young man. He's warning, I don't know if he's a young man, that he's warning this certain man. He's warning him, hey, you know, it's not going to be easy. We may have to do some things. We may have to go some places that you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to have all the comforts of your life that you have now. If you're going to follow me, things are going to have to change, and you may not just have everything that you think you need. But we understand that we will, you know, in that. But he says here, the birds, of the you know, the foxes have holes. You know, this morning I just, you know, I think Isaac is learning Spanish, so he asked me a bunch of questions all the time. He asked me this morning, he goes, when did you start speaking Spanish very well? And I told him, I said, I'd let him know. Which is the truth. I mean, I started learning Spanish at 40 years old. And I'll be learning Spanish the rest of my life. But this word here, the word for dens here, it's interesting, is the word guaridas. Guaridas in Spanish. Guaridas, okay? And so that means a den, an animal den. And so then there's another word, guardias. Can you guys hear the difference there? Guardias or guaridas? And so when I first read that to the church this morning, I said, guardias. Well, what's the big deal? That's people, armed guards that stand outside a bank or something. That's guardias. So all foxes have that. Not so much. They giggled a little bit. And I was like, hey, guaridas. Hey, don't giggle too much. And so it was just, it's, you know, I think, you know, you may not like this, but I think that sometimes the mistakes I made keep the people involved in the sermon. And that's what we need to be. You know, what the Lord is saying here, and he says here, this man calls him Lord. And hey, you know, and all three of these men call him Lord. And if you don't think that's a big deal, I looked it up. I read every single time someone called Jesus Christ Lord in the Gospels, and it's 78 times. And I could be off one or two, but that's how many times it is. It's just under 80 times somebody called him Lord. And most of the time it was Peter calling him Lord. And so we see here, he called him Lord, and he says, I'll follow you. And that's something that we all have to get to at a certain place in time in our discipleship, in our Christian life, to where we say, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then the Lord's going to say, okay, it's not going to be easy. You know, when a man answers the call to preach, you know, what do all the other preachers tell him? Well, you know, you need to think about that. If there's nothing else that you can do and be satisfied in your life, you know, that may be that you're being called to preach. That, or there's something wrong with you. Because it's not going to be easy. It's not. And that's what the Lord's telling him here. You know, over this last year, the biggest bother or molestation or biggest, I don't know what the word is, but the biggest thing that was more, the most difficult thing that over this last year for us was we did not have a place that was ours. And so we were staying with folks and different things like that. And hey, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, Mason, Elizabeth, for letting us stay there. Praise the Lord. But it's nothing like being in your own bed, you know. I mean, we're so looking forward to that Wednesday night, sleeping in our own bed, in our own place. But the thing is, here the Lord's telling them, you're going to have difficult times. You're going to have these times that are difficult. But here, listen, this is what I'm going through. And he tells them this. It's a warning. I don't believe he's rebuking him. I believe it's a warning. And so we see the Lord tells him this. You know, if we go on to the next guy here. It's not going to be easy serving and following the Lord. But it's possible. And we can be used by him. Here in verse number 59 and 60, if we look here, he says here, 59, it says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, again here, you know, I believe that the Lord is warning this young man. I believe he's telling him, hey, okay, that's probably a really good thing for you to do, but that's not what I want for you. You know, we see here, you know, it was good enough that still, even after this disciple or this man said this, after he called him, he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The Lord still told him to go and preach the kingdom of God. I think if he was that bothered with him, he'd say, just go home. You know, and we understand here, probably most likely this man's father was not yet dead. And so he was going to go stay with his father probably until he had passed away, you know, and it may have been years. When the Lord calls you to follow him, hey, look what this guy did here. He said, suffer me first. No, it should be, okay, Lord, you're first. And all this other stuff's going to work out. And it does. It does. You know, family and family will try to pull you away from what God wants in your life. Now, if you have safe family, they're probably going to try to help you out. But even sometimes, hey, when you get to mama and her babies going to the mission field or something like that, they may try, even if she's safe, she may try to discourage you and try to get you not to go. He says here, he's talking about people that are spiritually dead. And he says here, go and preach the kingdom of God. You know, he's telling him, these folks, let the dead bury their dead. And that may sound like a hard saying, brethren, but it's the truth. You know, we need to worry about causes, or things of life. And what, you know, what we preach brings eternal life. And that's what we have to preach to others so that they don't have to be dead or muerto. They don't have to be dead anymore. They can have eternal life. And so he's still telling, listen, you know, he's still, out of all these guys, you know, this guy, you know, he might, you know, the Bible says wisdom and prudence, or prudence finds out a knowledge of witty inventions, you know, it finds out those things. And so I think that he had it worked in his mind, you know, I need to go do this and then I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm going to go do this. And the Lord says, you know what? I need you to go preach the kingdom of God. That needs to be first. And did this man do this or not? I don't know. I think we're going to see here in a little bit, you know, there's a good chance that maybe he did go. And he went and preached the kingdom of God. But I don't know. But the thing is, I can't, you know, I'm not going to take this as the Lord rebuking him, but the Lord is calling him because he called him and he said, follow me. Follow me. You know, and that's what the Lord's doing with every single one of us. He's calling. You know, the first man, he went to him. He says, I will follow you. And the second man, the Lord is calling him. He says, follow me. And so then he wants to first go and bury his father. But who needs to be first? We need to put the kingdom of God. We need to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. And all these other things are going to work out. They'll be added unto us. You know, God's going to take care of all these other things. And, you know, God does these things for us because you know, he loves us. Told him to go preach the kingdom of God. And the third one here. Don't get your hopes up. We still got ways to go. But the third one here, 61 through 62. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we look at this and we see another man said, Lord. Amen. I like it when I hear people call Jesus Christ Lord. I like it when they say Señor. That means that's Lord in Spanish. But I like that. But here he says, Lord, I'll follow thee, but first. Well, who needs to be first? Jesus needs to be first. The Lord, the kingdom of heaven needs to be first. But he says, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. You know, we see the Lord says something here to him. That Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, if you look at that word plow there, if you go to look that up in to see how many times that word's in the Bible, you've just found it. Plough. But there's another word, the same word, it's plow, plow. And that's found many times in the Old Testament. And we see that. But he says, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's pretty forceful. But if we look at that just a little bit, you know, plowing, this is, you know, he's speaking this and they would all knew what plowing meant. Plowing, it's not an easy job, especially back then. You know, they would have had a yoke of oxen. They would have had their plow. They would have had a plow with a plowshare. It would have had a coulter on it, probably. If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see that they had that, something that cut the ground, and then the plowshare that would have turned it over, and they would have had that. And but then they would have had this yoke of oxen, and so then they would have had one hand on the plow and one hand in it with a goad, and they would have been going, trying to plow a straight row. And we understand, you know, I understand this. I grew up on a farm. I understand that you're supposed to pick out a place at the end, the other side of the field, and keep looking at it and let it go. But let me tell you something, brethren, that doesn't really work out really great when you're first starting. Pastor Merrick's saying, I understand. He's plowed fields before too. You know, when we were back home with my mom, the Lord blessed us. We were able to spend a lot of time with my mom and some more time, a lot of time with Jennifer's parents and everything this last year. It's just been a blessing as far as that aspect of spending time at home. But I was able, you know, the Lord allowed me to plow a couple little fields of hers this year. And so I had to go find the plow, had to get the tractor, had to find the plow. You know, one of my brother-in-laws had left it up in the woods, trees were growing up in it and everything. I had to get that out. And so you can imagine what it looked like. It's been sitting there for many years. So I got it back down there. I greased it up because it has a stump trip on it to where, you know, you don't break it off if you hit something hard in the ground. And greased it up. And, well, I took it up there, hooked it to the tractor, took it up, right? You know, this tractor that she has there is about a 60-horse tractor, 60-horse tractor. And so I hooked this plow to it, which had two 14-inch plowshares on it. And so you need I've always been told, if you want to learn something about the farms, you know, you have to have 1 horse per inch of plowshare that you have. So we needed at least 28. We were in good shape, right? 56-horse tractor. And so I tried to, you know, I brush hogged this field off that we wanted to plow, and I tried to start plowing that thing. And you want to know something? It was so aggravating that I just kept saying, you know what? I'm going to do this another day. I'm going to quit. You know, we'll do this tomorrow. When, you know, this is trying my patience. because we were under a lot of stress anyway. And so, you know, I was constantly clearing stuff off of there, trying to adjust it right to where that thing would cut in and cut the right depth and go and just do exactly what it needed to do. So that first row that I picked out that spot did not look very good. It was skidding across the top of the ground. It was going in. It was crooked and everything because I was trying to get everything adjusted to where it would work. You know, and I can't imagine how hard it would have been if I would have had two oxen and just a single share plow trying to plow and trying to get everything just right, trying to know my animals and get everything to where I could get that straight and get everything plowed up correctly. I think that it would be a great bother. You know, the Bible teaches in Proverbs that the sluggard, the slothful man will not plow for reason of the cold, and they'll beg and harvest. So I got to messing around with that thing. I couldn't get it right, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to quit for the day. And the Lord brought this verse up to my mind. You know, I was like, well, I'm going to finish. You know, and there's a saying, you know, I tried to teach this a little bit to my sons. Don't quit when it's hard. Because it's going to get easier. You know, we had, with that, it started out hard and everything. But once I got that thing adjusted right and that plow, the dirt started shining that plow up. Guess what? It started cutting good. And it started plowing well. And so then, you know, I'm up there, I'm plowing this thing. And I hear Titus, Dad, you know, I want to ride the tractor with you. I'm like, well, all right. So I let him on the tractor. We get there, and I, you know, he stayed with me on the tractor until I got done. And he said, you tricked me because I was bored on that tractor. I just wanted to ride it for a little bit. I was like, well, we had to finish the field. He was like, you tricked me. But the thing was, every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. Every adjustment, every time I had to get off that tractor and adjust that thing, it was aggravating, but I knew that I would get it right and that we would get this thing plowed and that we could disc it up, then run the hire across it, and then we could sew it in what we wanted to sew. And we got it done. You know, here, you know, I think here, you know, the thing here is the Lord saying this to this man, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. But you know, the thing is, this is all about those men being his disciples and following him. And they wanted to go and return home. And that's not the way that it's supposed to work. You know, we understand that maybe these men, maybe going back home or going back to mom or dad, that might not have been good for them at that point in time in their life. They might have needed to stay away from that for a little while, get a little bit more discipleship underneath their belt to where they can handle what the pressure home's going to put on them. We've been so, the Lord has done that in our lives to where we've been able to just go and, you know, talk to home. We love them and everything. But the thing is, you know, we love the Lord more. But sometimes there needs to be a separation while you're being discipled. And so we see the Lord telling this man this. And let me tell you something, brethren. When you're being discipled or you're first starting to train as you're called to preach, every single thing that can bother you is probably going to try to bother you. Every single thing that the devil can do or anything to get you to quit, to get you to quit that season of your life, if he has to use family or has to use your work or has to use whatever it is, sickness, he's going to try to use it to get you to take your hand off the plow and not finish your discipleship or your training for the ministry, men that are called to preach. I've seen it in my own life. You know, I remember, this has been so many years ago, I think I can tell it, you know, Pastor Merrick can yell at me later if he wants, but I remember right after I got saved, I got called to preach. I started training about a year. There was a church that wanted me to become pastor. I had a year of training. And I remember standing out there on those steps, and I was like, hey, what do you think about this? It was my dad. You know, they wanted me to come back and candidate and all this other stuff. And he gave me a stern warning. He didn't rebuke me. You know, he who desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. He didn't rebuke me, but he gave me a warning, and it made me think, and I was like, you know what? He's absolutely right. You know, this man here, maybe this warning that the Lord gave him, you know, the Lord said, hey, you know, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Maybe this man said, you want to know something? That's correct. I'm not going to go bid them farewell till I get some more training and more some more discipleship under my belt to where I can. And here's the interesting thing about this. You know, it says here, fit for the kingdom of God. Fit for the kingdom of God. You know, that means to be suitable or skillful or appropriate for doing something. The same word in the definition there in the Spanish, the definition of the word Spanish, apto, is the same word that was used for Eve, the Iuda Idonia, that she was a help meet Idonia, that it, you know, that it used there in this definition. I was like, well, that's interesting. The Lord made, you know, the Lord made, a fit helper for him, for Adam. And I said, well, that's interesting, that word, you know, that's why I looked at it, that word. But the thing here is, maybe this man, he said, you want to know something? That's right. I'm not going to go back. And that just helped make him more fit for the kingdom of God. You know, suitable or skillful or appropriate. You know, if we're going to be a good plowman, you know, if I was plowing every day, you know, I could probably have my plow all adjusted in 5 minutes. But when I told my mom, I was like, you know, you realize I haven't plowed anything for, you know, probably 30 years. You know, I'm 49. No, it was probably 35 years since I'd plowed anything. And I said, didn't do too bad, but I was sure aggravated, you know, there. My Pittman temper might have got up just a little bit, you know. But the thing is, fit or apto for the kingdom of God. And I want us all to think about this. Like I said, everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. You know, and I've seen that in our ministry since I answered the call to preach. Different things happen, you know, different offenses happen, you know, and have to make the choice. Am I going to keep my hand on the plow? Am I going to follow the Lord? Because I said I was following him wherever he went. And that's what I told the Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I had struggled with my salvation for so long. When I got saved, I was like, Lord, I don't care what it is, I'll do it. Other folks need to know this. And, you know, and he brought up to my mind that, you know, foxes have their holes or their dens, and birds have their nests, but he didn't have anywhere to sleep sometimes, and sometimes we haven't. Sometimes I haven't had a place to sleep because I was so worried about ministry and about different things that were going on, I couldn't sleep. And that shouldn't happen, but it does. The thing here is, you know, every single thing, ever since we answered the call to preach, and then we went through everything, just training for the ministry, trying to be a blessing here, trying to keep the track rack empty, trying to get people to come to church, trying to get kids on the bus, trying to preach at the nursing homes, trying to do all these different things. You know, even starting some Bible studies with different Spanish folks, trying to get that started in our ministry. We did that because God was making us, he was helping us to be prepared for the mission field. And it's not been easy. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to tell you everything that we've gone through, but it's been hard. It's been very difficult. But we understand, I understand this, brethren, and I'll read this verse to you. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let's put a mark here. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 10. It says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith he in another, altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow what? In hope, brethren. And I think that's a principle that we need to remember when we're being discipled or we're preparing for the ministry, that, hey, we're plowing. We're not always going to be plowing. I like that. Praise the Lord. We're not always going to be plowing. When we get the plowing done, you know, hey, we get to sow. And when we get the sowing done, we get to help nourish it and help help establish it to where one day it'll bring forth fruit. So we're not always going to have to plow. And so when we put our hand to the plow, I think that what the Lord's saying here, we need to finish the task that he has us on right now. And that's one of the things Pastor Merrick drilled into us that were in training for the ministry, to finish what we started. If we start a Bible Institute, we need to finish Bible Institute. You start, you know, when we were on deputation, you know, I told him, I was like, hey, so, you know, when we get 50%, can we head to the field or something like that? And he said, well, if you want to quit the very first thing in your ministry, yeah, go ahead. He wouldn't have let me. Don't worry. But he said, why would you want to quit, not accomplish the very first thing you set forth in your ministry to do? We did the same thing with preparing for the ministry. Why quit? You know, I could have not heeded his warning, went and pastored. I had another church ask us to go pastor it. You know, in just different things that went on, you know, we could have quit many times. But why quit? Because one day it's going to be different. God's preparing us for the next thing. You know, and the next thing about plowing is we need to finish the task that we've started, but we need to plow in hope, because one day we're going to be able to sow, and one day we're going to be able to reap, and we're going to see the benefits of what we've been doing. Not only in our own lives, praise the Lord for that, but God can use us in the lives of others. We should plow in hope. Have our hand, on the plow. Keep it on there and plow in hope. Because let me encourage you, you're not always going to be plowing. Everything's not going to be the exact same thing as it is right now. You're going to learn some things under your belt, get some experience under your belt, and you're going to go on to the next thing, and you're going to be able to see other things happen in your life and in the life of others. So we see here to plow in hope. And that's what we did when we were plowing mom's, those two little patches that we were plowing. We were plowing in hope that we would sow that. You know, and if you want to know, if you have to know what we sowed food plots for deer, because, you know, that's spiritual stuff right there. You have to get that done. You can learn a lot of spiritual things about that. But the thing is, we saw them start to grow, and we saw deer starting to come into them and use them. You know, when I was a kid, we would plow. It would be for a crop. Plant milo or corn, or just redo pasture to where the animals could come eat it, or we could make bales of hay out of it. But the thing is, we always did it with hope. The hope is that one day we're going to reap. And what we're going through right now, what we're doing right now, is going to be used by God. And it's going to benefit not only us, but others. You know, we see here, like I said, sometimes we give these guys a hard time, you know, and if you disagree with what I've said here tonight, you know, I would have to say to you, just be a little bit more merciful in your life. Because not everything is a rebuke. Sometimes we're just receiving a warning. You know, it's interesting here that after this verse, after the, you know, verse 62, in chapter 10, verse number 1, after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. What does it say there? Whether he himself would come. I wonder, I guess we can find out in heaven, but I wonder, these are real people, if maybe they were part of that 70. I hope so. I hope they heeded the warning. I hope that the one that said he would follow, he didn't get discouraged, that he said, you know what, I'm going to follow. If the Lord can, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if he can have nowhere to lay his head, I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to be right with him. I hope that this other man that said, you know, hey, let me first go bury my father, I hope he listened to the Lord, and he went and he preached the kingdom of God, that will bring life to others. And I hope that this last man here, I hope that he heeded to the Lord and he kept his hand on the plow, allowing God to finish out the task that he had put in his life to do at that point in time. Because God can do it, and God wants to do it. We don't have to, I hate to use the word failure, but we don't have to quit. We don't have to take our hand off the plow. And I'll leave you with one verse here, and then we'll quit. Philippians chapter 1. In our church down there, we're going through a series in Philippians letter of Philippians, and then we're going through Mark also. But here in verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is able to perform the things that he started in you if we'll just keep our hand to the plow and we'll keep doing the things that we know that we're supposed to do. We need to finish this part. Maybe we need to set goals. I need to finish this thing that the Lord has me going on right now. If you're the men in Institute, you need to finish Institute. Every single class, you need to do it. You need to do it, do a good job, because you're going to, trust me, use it. This class that you're in right now, you need to listen to that class, because you're going to have stuff come up. You're going to be like, what did we learn there? What am I supposed to do there? You know, but God can finish it. He will perform it. The good work that he started in you. And in your discipleship, we're all disciples of Christ, I hope, tonight. I hope we're all saved. But if you're saved, just being saved, you know, that'll get you to heaven. But God wants you to be his disciple, and he wants to use you. He wants you to grow in his knowledge, in knowledge of him. He wants this in your life, and he can do that if we'll just keep our hand on the plow. If we'll just keep doing the task that he wants us to do at that point in time, finish it, everything will be good, brothers and sisters and little kids. Everything will be good. So let me encourage you tonight. We see these three different men. We see, you know, how the Lord warned them, and there's going to be warnings along our ways. Along our way, you know, people are going to come up and say, hey, listen, you know, look out for this. Or, hey, you're headed down this right here. You need to watch for this. Don't take that as somebody rebuking you. And don't take offense. Learn from it. Be like, you know what? I need to maybe look at that. You know, and if you're married, ask your wife, man. Oh, boy. Ask her what she thinks. That's something Pastor Merrick taught me. Wish he wouldn't. No, it's kept a lot of peace in our home. Hey, what do you think? And we need to finish the things that we start and keep our hand on the plow and our hand in the task that God has set forth for us right now, and finish it, brothers. Let's pray.